Chapter 56. Thursday evening. Lena shook her head and said to Zelos, "Memory loss again? It'll all come back. I'm not worried." Zelos smiled. "I'm glad you're confident, Lena. I was hoping you would be disturbed enough to promise me anything to ensure my complete recovery." He ducked her punch and hopped out of range of her kick and dove into the van unscathed and giggling. "I haven't lost my form." "Don't start gloating. I'm way out of shape here. Just give me a few weeks and I'll get you back. And that's a promise," Lena shouted, as Gowrie gave her a needed hand up into the van.
"I don't think so, Lena," he taunted back.
"Give it up, Zelos," Val warned, taking a seat beside him. "She'll tear you apart one of these days."
"Oh, I can't wait."
Zelos continued to laugh hard enough to start coughing. "Where'd that gag I stuffed into your mouth go? Hey, Zell, give me a hand here. I want to get this handkerchief tied in back to shut him up," Val yelled, as Zell pushed him into the back of the van.
"I'll pass," Zell said curtly.
Gowrie followed Zell and filled up the back of the van with his legs. Silphiel took the seat beside Philia mid-van and whispered, "Did you see his chest with the tape off? He's so muscular." Philia nodded. "Oh yeah, Gowrie's strong. Did you get the chance to hold that sword of his? Weighs a ton." "And Zelos tore it out of thin air," Silphiel sighed. "Uh-huh, but did you get a peek at his chest? My gods, as if he needed more scars. I mean, his body's a battleground," Philia sniffed.
"Philia, that's awful. Not so loud either. He'll hear you."
"Well, it's true. I rubbed that ointment all over him, and he's scarred all over, though mostly on his back and chest, and it nearly made me faint," Philia insisted. Silphiel closed her eyes and thought about what she'd seen.
"But he has the nicest smile."
Philia bumped her friend with her shoulder. "Silphiel, nice try. He's pretty cute, but he's no Gowrie."
"Or Val?"
"Val? Ha! He's no Gowrie either. But looks aren't everything. Amelia keeps reminding me of that." Philia smiled and looked out the window.
"She still likes you-know-who. But I think she's gonna go out with, you know, the one with the glasses,"
Silphiel whispered. "It's about time." Philia turned around to look back at Amelia, sitting beside Lena. "Let's find out. I'll take it from here. Oh, Amelia, you have any plans Friday or Saturday?"
I don't know. I thought I'd help Miss Lena move tomorrow after school, and then..."
"Aren't we going to try a little music on Saturday?"
Amelia answered.
"Yeah, sure, but I was referring to the evening after that,"
she smiled innocently.
Amelia blushed. She had decided to go see Star Wars with Melvin, but preferred not to tell her friends just yet.
"Maybe a movie Saturday night?"
Philia nodded with satisfaction.
Silphiel whispered, "Episode 2, then. He's been talking about it all week at lunch."
"I've been wanting to see that new Star Wars movie," Philia sighed. "Anyone else?"
"I gotta work. Fucking inheritance crap is still tied up in paperwork. I've been skipping hours all week, like right now," Val grumbled.
Zelos brightened with enlightenment of a sort.
"I can take you."
"Huh?"
Philia sputtered Zell-like.
Events had suddenly taken an unexpected turn down an uncertain path for an unknown reason.
"Sure, why not?" drawled Lena. "We've been wanting to watch something big screen too, right, Gowrie?"
"Yes, you. Any other Gowries in the van? Pay attention back there, you guys. We're making plans for Saturday, so listen up. Band practice and lunch. Make that lunch, then band practice. Then dinner. Then movie.
Amelia, can the van take us all?
Amelia was aghast.
No, 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 wait. Did she want all these friends to see her there?
Oh, Miss Lena, I'm sorry, but the van's not going to be available.
Philia glanced at her younger friend and smiled.
That was almost going to become a lie,
she whispered to Sylphiel, who was not smiling at all. Philia replayed the preceding events in her mind. Zelos, the idiot, had made it sound as if he was asking her, Philia, out, intentionally or not, and that had hurt Sylphiel's feelings.
Sylphie, he meant us, not just me. He likes to tease us, you know.
Sylphiel, stop brooding. He's called a Chaos Kid for a reason. Don't fall for him, okay? You can do better.
Sylphiel shook her head, tears filling her eyes.
Every time I like someone, they like someone else more.
Oh, Sylphie, he doesn't like me or anyone else more than you. Remember that Valentine's Day card? What he wrote to you? Yes, I'd call that romantic.
Gods, I can't really be encouraging her to like that idiot. He's just an inept geek.
Zelos had lost control of the situation, if he had had it to begin with. His clumsy attempt to ask Philia out had erupted into another Slayer's event. He wasn't the only unenthusiastic one, he noticed, looking around. Amelia looked practically grief-stricken. He wondered about that. She was thinking about going to a movie. The van's busy.
Oh, she's got a date with some guy, or she'd be telling us more.
He twisted around and caught Zell's eye. Nothing there. She's not going out secretly with him.
Zell was patiently explaining the movie's confusing relationships to Gowrie.
But he was just a little kid Joey's age in the last movie, and she was a lot older, Gowrie complained.
Age is unimportant to them, I guess. Besides, he was probably 11 and she was only 13. Maybe a mature 13 in episode 1. Then, in this one, he's, I don't know, 15? Zell began.
And she's 17. Like you and Amelia, but reversed,
Gowrie pointed out.
Maybe it's been more like 10 years since episode 1, Zell backpedaled quickly. So they're in their 20s. Yeah, that's more likely. I'll check the internet to see if it says...
So, little Miss Amelia is going out with another guy for sure. If it was a girlfriend, she would have said so.
Oh, what now? Sylphiel's crying? Why is Philia glaring at me? I'm innocent, aren't I? All I said was, I'll take you to Philia. Oh my, now they're both looking at me.
Zelos met Sylphiel's eyes, then said aloud, Would you like to come with me too? If you think your father won't mind, that is.
I don't think he trusts me.
Oh, and Zelgadis, can I drive your car to the movie?
You too?
Okay, so Sylphiel, you and Zelgadis and Philia, you guys come with me, and Gowrie, can you drive Lena in the pickup? Your dad doesn't need it that night.
Night, right, night, right, night, right.
He repeated incessantly until Val punched him in the ribs.
Oof! Okay. Well, Zelgadis, if you want, you can go with Gowrie, and I'll take all the girls in your car.
Thought so. Good. Then everything's okie-dokie. Zelos smiled amiably. I think... Zelgadis waited until they were piling out of the van in front of his house to talk to Amelia. He couldn't understand what Zelos was thinking to leave her out of the plans. His friend normally wasn't so asocial as to leave out one of the group. Could he be doing it for me, so I don't have to be around her? That idiot, that's not what I meant. Zell shook his head and hurried to catch up with Amelia.
Amelia, wait. Please, I, wanted to ask if,
Amelia stopped halfway up the walk to the practice room. They had left their school things on the floor before going to the doctor's office earlier. She was upset about the mess she was in now.
She wanted to grab her things and whomever she had to drop off at home, then go think alone. But then again, why should she be upset? She was going to a movie with someone, a friend. Why couldn't she do that without feeling guilty? Philia had gone out with Alan, and she had even known that Val cared. Zelgadas made his position clear. They were going to be friends and nothing else. And the only going out he'd be doing with her would be as a group thing. So she shouldn't be feeling bad.
Mr. Zelgadas, what is it?
She said, more sharply than she had intended. I'm sure Zelos meant to have included you too. Just put you and Lena into one thought, Zel said obtusely.
Mr. Zelgadas, are you talking about that movie? Well, I have other plans. Thank you.
She turned and left to get her book bag. Zelgadas remained standing in the path of everyone else's progress. Where did I go wrong? He wondered. I hadn't been paying attention to all that chat. Zelos, that asshole, was probably at it again. I will get him, now that he's well. Later that evening, Zelgadas planted himself outside on the front porch. He was cold, but better off mentally out there, where he wasn't likely to run into the purple-haired menace. Val opened the door and looked out. Zel?
That's me. What's up? Trouble in paradise?
Zelgadas did not want to discuss all his current problems with Val, or anyone else for that matter. The problem with Amelia was difficult to pinpoint, but he could put it aside. Lena's leaving was at the root of the problem, but there was nothing he could do about that except suffer in silence. Zelos, on the other hand, was aggravating him. Like no other friend, Zelos could get under his scarred skin and provoke him to the limits of self-control. Mulling all that over, Zel sank deeper into Zelland.
Hey, okay, dude. Must be something to do with Zelos, huh? Yeah, just nod vacantly for the affirmative. Want to play a trick on him? Ah, come on. Well, I got an idea. Nah, it won't hurt him. Much. Val grinned evilly.
Zelgadas shook his head.
Here's what you do, Val continued on. Zelgadas, who kept shaking his head, said, I don't think so. I don't do that kind of thing. Val, it's not really my kind of...
Ah, come on, dude. Your last joke went over pretty good. Now you can add this one to your repertoire.
All right, what do I do? Just that? Fine. Zel acquiesced.
He had never lived in a house with a bunch of rowdy guys, or watched scummy teen movies on TV. He had no idea what Val was up to.
Luna had already moved out by the time the kids had returned, Thursday evening. The washing machine was packed with her used sheets and towels. The closet was bare. The loft was empty. All was ready for Zelos to return and reclaim. Oh, and she even remembered to leave a thank you note on the pillowcase. Lena was stretched out below on a beanbag chair, thinking. She either had to finish reading her book or go see what was cooking next door at the boys' place. No brainer there. She crammed a paper crane, trimmed from the collection festooning the room, into her book as a page marker, and scampered across the grassy way. Lena could hear an angry shout from within, even before she opened the door. Apparently, Zelgadas had set a timer on his computer upstairs, as per Val's instructions. Zel was to flush the toilet in his bathroom at the sound of the buzzer, while Val was in the master bedroom preparing to do the same thing. Zelos? Zelos was taking a shower in the downstairs bathroom, happy at last to do so in private and at his leisure. He had just broken into the second verse from Oh, What a Beautiful Morning, when all the cold water vanished and only hot water blasted him on the back. Ah! He cried out, then turned down the hot water and cranked up the cold water. I can't wait to be back in my own place, with my own hot water heater, and...
The upstairs toilet tanks refilled completely, and icy cold water returned to the shower in force. Shit! Yelp! He screamed and shut off the tap. Outside the bathroom door, he could hear what he thought to be both Val and Zell's laughter. Laughter that stung like salt on his tender skin. The hairs on his arms prickled up. Fighting response. Zell did that on purpose? Oh. He lunged out of the shower, banging open the shower door, and then nearly ripped off the bathroom door as he thundered out of the room and down the hallway, leaving a trail of wet footprints behind. He traced Zell's racket near the kitchen. You asshole. That fucking water could have burned me. It hurt like hell. It isn't goddamn fucking funny. Stop laughing! He screamed and continued screaming a string of obscenities rarely uttered by either of them. Lena stood there, gaping. Zelgadis's eyes swept the room from Val's vivacious visage to Zelos's furious face to rest at last upon Lena's catatonic countenance. He hadn't been laughing so much as coughing. He regretted taking part in the ill-conceived, infantile prank already. Maybe you should go now, Lena. Zell said quietly. Huh? Oh! Gasped Zelos, swirling around to see if it was true. Oh, my. It was. Lena was there. Now, normally he wasn't body conscious. But standing dripping wet, stark naked, no more than 10 feet away from a thoroughly appalled and mortified Lena Inverse, was even too much for him. He spun on his heel, fled into his room, and slammed his door. Lena, who appeared to be fixed in place, felt heat burn from her head to her toes, melting her into the floor. Then Zelos disappeared. She didn't remember leaving the room. When a few seconds later she found herself back in the practice room, nose buried in her book. Her attention strayed from the words on the page before her, however. She hadn't even thought about what was going on, at first. Then, it was too late. She'd looked. Face, 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 look at his face, damn it! But she'd looked. She wasn't even cognizant of the scars on his chest, either. Lena had never observed the mature male naked before. Oh, sure, Gowrie's little brother's scampering around the house. But not an older guy. And certainly not one of her friends, and why him? Why do all my firsts end up being with Zelos? The first guy to kiss me, I kissed Zell, so that doesn't count. The first guy to tell me he liked me and wanted me to be his girlfriend. The first guy I see naked. Gah! I've got to wipe my mind clean. Wipe, wipe, wipe. I'm so glad I'm going home tomorrow. Val, meanwhile, thought the entire incident was hysterical. Zell did not. He could not believe that he had participated in something so juvenile as that. But he wouldn't go so far as to admit he was wrong. That would be admitting that he knew what he was doing. His face was flushed with enough embarrassment for both Zelos and Lena, as well as for himself. Zell was also concerned for Lena. All right, that's enough, Val. We'd better go check on Lena. She wasn't part of the plan. I don't think she appreciated being included in our practical joke. You're kidding. You think she wants to see more guys right now? She's seen enough dude flesh for the night. Just let her be, to ponder the entertainment. Val laughed again. Zell thought about it. Agreed. I don't know what I could say that wouldn't make matters worse. You got him, though. Bet he'd like that cold shower now. Val chuckled, then erupted into laughter at his own joke. He was the only one. Friday morning. Lena did not join the boys for breakfast the next morning. Too soon! Instead,
She sorted out her clothes and threw out accumulated garbage. Not usually a tidy person, Lena suddenly felt the need to keep busy. She also didn't want to leave Lena reminders around for Zelos to find when he moved in later. Zelos. Gods, how long could she put off dealing with him? Just a minute. There, I snagged more detritus to toss. Yeah? Oh! Lena cried out when she opened the door. You missed breakfast. Val left a note before going to school. The other one I'm not speaking to. Zelos paused. I'm hungry, and I bet you are too. It's a short walk to the bakery. My treat? He asked hopefully. Lena did not want to talk, but she was hungry. I'm ravenous. Sure, okay. I'll just grab a jacket. Is it raining? No? The two friends walked uncomfortably to the shop, the chilly, damp spring morning air adding curl to Lena's tousled mop. Zelos held the door open with a faint smile and followed her in. Anything, as much as you can hold. He crammed his hands into his pocket and gazed over the selections himself. They sat together at a small table near a window, where they could watch cars pull in and out of the parking lot. Lena dunked donuts into her glass of milk, while Zelos sipped orange juice and played with a cream-filled eclair. After he teased all the filling out into a soft, sticky blob, he continued to stab at the frosting with his finger. Lena, we've got to talk. I know I've offended you. It wasn't intentional, but still. I just wanted you to know that I'm very sorry about what happened, he began tentatively. Your friendship means everything to me, Lena. I want to know that we can be around one another and be okay. Lena, I'm not a monster. Lena knew it was her turn to forgive and forget. I'm making a big deal out of nothing, aren't I? It's just that, gods, this is uncomfortable. How can you be so at ease? Ah, of course, all that conditioning probably comes in handy at times like that. This, whatever. What do you mean? Conditioning makes me comfortable being naked around my friends? Oh, you mean talking about problems. Well, that comes with having a lot of problems to talk about, and so many strangers to have to open up to. I guess. Like at the hospital, Lena. Nurses, technicians, shrinks, all require me to drop my shielding and allow them access to me. If I'm to get any better. What I mean is, I'm not bothered that you saw me. I simply don't want it to strain our friendship. Understand? Lena nodded. Oh, get over it, Zelos. It was bad timing on my part. What happened, anyway? Zelos explained the prank. To which he added, I'm so mad at him right now that I'll probably just hang around the park all day, grab lunch at the deli, then be back to help the rental beds out and vacuum and move my computer and my clothes. You know, as much as I am looking forward to getting my room back, I'm going to miss having you to talk to all the time. Well, I can see that was a stupid thing to say. You ready to go back? If it makes you feel any better... Think of the whole incident like a test you just passed. Zelos frowned. A test? Yeah. They're treating you like one of the guys, you know. Like you can take a joke and be part of the guys and not go... Crazy? You mean they think I'm all normal now so they can treat me like shit again? That's right. Join the boys' club. Although it seems more a Val-type thing than Zell. Consider yourself initiated into the Gross Guy Society. Oh, you can stop here. I know the way, for God's sakes, Zelos. If you're gonna hang in the park, go do it. I'll see you later. Oh, and thanks for the donuts. She winked and continued on her way back. Zelos found his favorite swing and sank into it, closing his eyes. Now, if only he had his talk with Zelgadis out of the way. Zelgadis was irritated. As always, one of his jokes, well, not his joke, but one he got sucked into, had gone awry. He'd only meant to knock Zelos down a few pegs for interfering in his life, but he'd succeeded in alienating both Zelos and Lena. Damn karma, he spat, as he dug through his clothes, looking for something to wear. He'd finished up Luna's stuff late last night, and hadn't gotten around to doing up his or those of any other of the roommates in this insane asylum he called home. He finally found one that was clean and that fit. Most were too small now. He looked into the mirror. It was the shirt Zelos had discarded. The blue shirt, once oversized, now a good fit. Zelos smiled. He had grown. He thought he was as tall as Zelos now. He was taller than Inu, and Vaughn, too. He was sure of it. The clothes Zelos had bought him in November were snug, to his standards of bagginess, but were all he had. And shoes. It was a good thing school was almost over. He was going to need a new wardrobe. Zelgadas ran down the stairs to the front door. You're here for the hospital beds, right? Come this way first. While you're taking care of this one, I'll go warn the occupant of the other house that you're on your way over. Yes, that house over there, Zelgadas said soberly. Lena was returning to the practice room from her walk as the rental bed and monitors were being wheeled out of her place. Her ex-place. Zel, they came early, huh? She called to her somber-faced friend. Lena, I knocked first, but you weren't in, so... It's okay, Zel. It's not my place anymore. Great day for a walk. You went for a walk, then? Yeah, Zelos bought me donuts. She caught his expression change to indicate his entering an even darker mood. He wanted to apologize, and you know him. He likes to talk stuff out. He's at the... Fine. Well, I have other things to do right now, like laundry and homework, he said dryly, and turned back to the main house. Me too, she shouted to his retreating back. Why was he being rude to her? What had she done to incur his disdain? And here I thought you'd grown out of that immature behavior. Just shut me out then, if that makes you feel good. He stopped and turned. It does. If you want to discuss it, go back and converse with him. That said, he entered the house and disappeared. Zelos returned to the strip mall for lunch at the deli. Mrs. Shearer had owned and ran the deli near Zelos' home for over 20 years. It's where she met her late husband, whose parents had owned the business as an old-fashioned corner market. She started working there when she was 15 and had sold the first handmade sandwiches over the counter. The market business had declined, but the sturdy lunches with all the trimmings had grown in popularity until, finally, after her marriage at 18, the couple transformed the shop into the current thriving delicatessen. 5 years ago, Mrs. Shearer had lost her husband, and so ran the shop with the help of a niece or nephew or other part-timer. Zelos ordered his favorite, pastrami on rye with thick, juicy slices of pickle and a can of vegetable juice. Here, dear, the shopkeeper called out to Zelos. What are you thinking? That's not enough to put any meat on those bones. You're so thin. Here now. That's right. Just a bit of cheesecake to go with. A sample. Try it, and I'll bring you a nice cup of tea. Thank you, Mrs. Shearer. I have been ill, but I'm fine now. He smiled and sat at a corner booth with the morning's paper. He munched and read, passing the time quietly until he heard the sound of a familiar voice. He gave a momentary glance to the counter, only to see Rezzo and the owner chatting away like intimate friends. Apparently they were. For some time, Zelos watched her pat his arm affectionately and lead him to a cozy nook where she could pass him tidbits, wait on the counter, and converse with him at the same time. Very cozy. After his mother, this woman looked plain. Anyone would. But Rezzo looked comfortable and nearly cheerful. That was nice. Zelos smiled and checked his watch.
If he left now, he could pick up his new contacts from the pharmacy, if the order had come in on time, and get back to the house to see Lena off. He cleared his lunch trash and politely thanked the lady by name. "Thank you, Mrs. Shearer. The cheesecake was terrific. I'll buy a whole one from you, if you'll make one sometime." "For you, dear? Anything. Here, take the rest home. No, don't argue. Just enjoy." Zelos smiled and nodded. He carried out his prize, waving over his shoulder. "Such a fine young man. He comes in here with your son every so often." Rezzo shook his head. "Well, he's my son now, that Zelos is dead. Lives in the remodeled garage. I haven't made up my mind what to do about the house and the boys. I can't just take one boy and leave the other." "Well, dear, you know we've talked about this before, and the offer's still open," the woman said as she set a cup of tea down in front of him. "You think about it, will you?"
"Of course I will. Thank you."
Saturday. After the effort of moving out on Friday, Lena had canceled band practice for the next day, in favor of sleeping in and enjoying her privacy. Gowrie would be by to pick her up to meet the others for dinner and the movie. She was looking forward to some of his laid-back company after the last few intense days with Zell and Zelos. She'd seen Val for a few minutes before he left to the settlement for the weekend. She thought he was nuts, having to get into work the next day and go back out again that night. But he seemed to enjoy his time with the Seafeed Believers. Val didn't push her to her limits anymore. He'd mellowed out a lot lately. Maybe those wholesome weekends with the clan, she thought. Philia caught a ride in from the settlement and met the others at the Chinese restaurant. From there, she would accept a ride with Zelos to the movie, and then, after the show, she would ride home with Val in another car he had arranged for them. She was hoping Val's first big purchase would be a car. Zelos had chosen the Chinese restaurant for his own party, of sorts. Zelgadis observed, to himself, that it was the same restaurant where Rezzo and Zelos had taken them to announce their upcoming nuptials. Months, it seemed like years, ago. He hoped that Zelos wasn't planning to pull a nasty rabbit out of a hat, but wouldn't put it past him. The more Zelos changed, the more he stayed the same. Predictably unpredictable, calmly restless, cheerfully despondent, a warm-fleshed self-contradiction and walking, talking oxymoron, aptly nicknamed Chaos Kid. The two friends had not spoken since the distressing prank gone bad. When it was time to leave for the restaurant, Zelos had appeared at the car door, driver's side. Zell said nothing. He climbed into the passenger seat, his mood blacker than his t-shirt. When Zelos picked up Silphiel at the shrine, Zell took the opportunity to migrate to the back seat, giving her the front seat and the benefit of Zelos' company. She chattered about the shrine while Zelos drove the 3 blocks to the restaurant and parked. Zell was out of the car and seated inside before Zelos had even locked the doors. Zelos had pre-ordered a mini-banquet to save time. He had something to say, and he didn't want them to be late for the movie. Zelgadis decided to forego the meal, sipping his tea instead, and waited for the proverbial shoe to drop.
"Ahem, guys," Zelos began.
Lena stopped mid-bite. "What?"
Zell sighed. "And here it begins. No big thing, but I thought, since we're here mostly, I was going to do this at the practice, but anyway, Zelgadis and I, leave me out of it, thought that we should all have cell phones to keep in touch, so..."
Zelos passed out everyone's new phone. "Zell's too. This is for Amelia, when we see her next. If you don't like the color, just trade. I picked out all different ones so that you could tell them apart." Zell looked down at his. He'd been last. It was purple. "Silphiel, would you like to trade with me?" She was delighted. Now his was pink. Where's Amelia's? I'll trade with her since she's not here to argue. He said, to no one in particular. Now he held a blue one and a pink one. Zelos was explaining that they were all pre-programmed with each other's numbers. Next, he instructed them how to reorder the number priorities and shuffle the owner's number to another location. Lena stared at hers, after making a few changes and helping Gowrie with his. So, I can call people and give them this number? How does the phone bill get to me? He grinned. That's a secret. Zell and Philia piled into the back seat. Zell figured he could tolerate her best of any of them for a short trip to the downtown theater. Philia and he rode in silence by mutual agreement. Everyone had noticed Zell's mood, but said nothing. It had been long overdue, Lena had warned, when she'd called everybody to cancel the practice. Hindsight being 20/20, Philia doubted her entire plan now that it was too late to change anything. Amelia would most likely wait until the lights darkened before entering the theater. Then she and Melvin would leave before the lights came up. Zell would miss them, would not see what he was missing out on, and would miss the point entirely. Philia looked in askance at her silent friend. Not that he'd notice anything tonight. She was wrong. Amelia and Melvin had already taken their seats inside and were nibbling on popcorn when the other kids noisily blundered in.
"Hey, Lena," Gowrie said, poking her shoulder. "There's Amelia already. I didn't know she was coming. Who's that she's with?"
Zelgadas's eye riveted on the back of Melvin's head. He found a seat beside Gowrie and settled in for the show. If anyone had answered Gowrie's question, Zell hadn't heard. He cut off communication with everyone and focused on the screen. Why had he let them all get to him? Why couldn't he have stayed a rock? What was wrong with being an island anyway? Lena had gone. Val was gone for the weekend. Zelos was as good as gone. He could have all Sunday to himself, just as he liked it. Quiet. No demands. Just him. Oh, joy. The previews roared onto the screen with ear-splitting, attention-getting volume. Zell winced. He hated going to the movies for many reasons, but the loud noise cranked up to ever-deafening levels in order to drown out the chattering audience was the primary one. 10 seconds into the movie soundtrack, just as the words Star Wars popped onto the screen, Zell felt an intense pain shoot through his head. His ears started ringing. Oh no! No one noticed his anguished expression as he stood up and crossed the aisle to the exit. They did notice his leaving. Good God, Zell, Lena murmured.
His heart's broken,
Sylphiel sighed to Zelos. Feeling guilty, Philia sighed and looked over at Amelia. Amelia had noticed the Slayers arrive and take their seats, and had considered saying hello. However, she felt that she owed something to Melvin for inviting her out, and if she joined her friends, she'd be leaving him off by himself, or dragging him along. So she engaged him in an intense conversation, debating the pros and cons of nihilistic behavior in government decisions, and avoided her friend's stares. When Zelgadas stood abruptly and edged out to the aisle, Amelia felt a little pang deep inside. He had a hand over one ear.
"Excuse me, Melvin. I need to go to the ladies' room. I'll be right back," she whispered, and quickly left the theater.
Outside the darkened room, Amelia searched for Zell and found him hunched over in a corner of the lobby.
"Mr. Zelgadas, can you hear me?"
Amelia cried. She resorted to tapping him on the shoulder to get his attention. His tortured expression said it all. No, he couldn't hear her. She nodded and rummaged through her purse for a paper and pen.
"I'm calling a ride for you. Stay here."
He shook his head violently, then pulled a pink cell phone out of his pocket, saying, "It's yours. A gift from Zelos. Good timing, isn't it?" Zell smiled faintly as Amelia nodded and stared at the phone. Punching out a number took a matter of seconds. Zelgadas watched her fervent expression as she dictated directions to the person on the other end of the conversation, then closed his eyes and waited. A tug at his sleeve revived him. Stuffing a note into his hand, Amelia rushed back into the theater to inform her friends that Zell was on his way home. When she had done that, she told Melvin that there was an emergency requiring her to leave at once. He offered to leave as well, but she insisted that he stay and watch the movie. With a little nudging, Zelos agreed to drop Melvin off on his way home in Zell's car. Zelgadas had not moved. The ringing had not abated, and now his stomach was churning from the stress, lack of food, and emotional turmoil of late. He felt a tap on his shoulder and opened an eye. Time to go. Amelia led him out to the waiting van.
"Amelia, thank you for all this, but you don't need to take me home. Go back and watch the movie."
Amelia shook her head.
"I want to be sure that you don't need to see a doctor."
Of course, he didn't hear that, but he knew what she meant. He simply sighed and settled into a seat. He was in no mood to fight tonight. When they were nearly home, he pulled out the blue cell phone and asked,
"If you don't like the color, there's this one too."
Taking the blue phone in her hands, she smiled.
"Oh, Mr. Zelgadas, it's just the color of your eyes. Yes, I like this one a lot more."
Again, he didn't hear her, but he understood that he was now the proud owner of a powder pink cell phone. After leaving Zelgadas to rest on his bed with a cold compress, Amelia closed the door to his room and crept downstairs. She found Rezzo listening to the 11 o'clock news.
"Professor Greywords?"
"Amelia, I thought I heard someone come in. Back early?"
"Yes, sir. Mr. Zelgadas is lying down. His ears... the sound in the movie theater must have triggered another buzz attack. I don't know whether or not to notify his doctor."
That's not too bad. I'll check on him in a few minutes, and if it seems to be getting worse, I'll put in a call. How does that sound to you?"
"Fine, I think."
"Do you need a ride home?"
"No, thank you. The van's out front waiting. I'll just go then, unless you'd like me to stay."
His response was cut off by the sound of footsteps and the crash of the front door.
"Is he okay?" Zelos gasped breathlessly.
Melvin caught Amelia's eye.
"We left as soon as we could. Why didn't you tell me it was one of your friends, Amelia?" I didn't want to ruin our good time," she said softly.
Then to Zelos, she said,
"His ears are ringing and his head hurts. That's all I know for sure. The music was too loud."
Then a realization occurred to her.
"Oh!"
she cried out in anguish.
"Oh, Zelos, what if the band's music is too loud? The same thought must have occurred to him by now, too."
"Amelia, I'd better go up and talk to him now. Thank you for bringing him home. What's that? You got a cell phone?"
"Mr. Zelgadas said you got one for everyone. It came in handy already. Thank you."
Zelos smiled. "That's right. You're welcome. I wasn't sure which color would be yours. That's all. Melvin, can you get a ride home from here?"
"He'll come with me, Zelos. Good night. See you later. Call me in the morning and let me know anything,"
she reminded him.
"Okie dokie."
Monday. Lena had agreed to get a ride to school with Gowrie's mother. It would be her first day back in the grind, and her strength was far from top form. But at the last moment, she called and said she'd have to opt out that day. She just didn't feel ready. Lena sunk deep into the pillows of her bed. Her own bed. There is no place like home. For those less fortunate, there was first period advanced English composition class. Martina was there, sitting at the far end of the room, thankfully. Zell noticed Lena was missing, and so he was doubly not ready for a Martina moment. He and Zelos took their customary seats near Lena's still unoccupied seat, and Philia. To Philia, they both appeared pale and wan. I hope I don't look as bad. Okay, now why is Zelos smiling that way? Zelgadas had whispered to Zelos upon entering the classroom together. See, I was afraid she wouldn't make it to school. At least our seats are still open. Good. How thoughtful. Philia's wearing her hair up. Did you notice? Makes her look older. But we shouldn't tell her, right? Zelos looked to Zell for confirmation. That's right. Don't. You'll face her wrath then. Smile if you feel that you have to do something. Zell advised. Okie dokie. Zelos smiled as he started to sit down. Well, I can take care of that smile. Philia returned his smile and casually knocked his notebook off the edge of his desk. Zelos frowned but said nothing. He flung his jacket over the back of his chair and walked around the desk for the notebook. What's this? Philia asked innocently, after picking a paper off the floor, which had fallen out of Zelos' jacket pocket. Zelos blanched. She smiled evilly and waved the folded piece of lavender-scented paper. Hehe, wiped it right off his face. Philia smiled cutely again. Love notes to you? What could the notes say? Philia asked aloud. You really want to know? Really? You want me to say it out loud? Here? Now? He whispered as the teacher entered the room. He made a lunge for the note. To his chagrin, Philia was quicker and whipped it out of reach. Philia, he hissed, give it back. It's not for you. It's private. Oh ho, Philia grinned. It is a love note. Zell had had enough of the teasing. He saw his chance and grabbed the note. I'll take that, Zell sighed in an exasperated way. Why everyone had to act out in such stupid ways, he couldn't hazard a guess. Just return the note to Zelos and end this idiotic situation before someone gets embarrassed. Zelgadas didn't feel his karma kick in until he'd already made his move. No, I'll take the note, young man, the teacher intoned from above. She removed the note, linking Philia and Zell's hands. Shit! Zelos hissed under his breath. The teacher walked back over to her desk, reading the note on the way, then turned and said, Philia, Zelgadas, I'd like to see the two of you for a moment after class. Now, back to our discussion of George Orwell. Zelgadas felt his heart race. Now what? When the teacher was busy with another student, he turned back to Zelos and whispered, So, what does she think Philia wrote to me? Zelos leaned forward, his eyes on the teacher, and whispered, your waterbed was lovely. Thank you for sharing it with me. I dreamed of you and me on a raft lost at sea each night. What did you dream about? Something close to that. Luna, the dear, left it on my bed, where I should have left it, I know, but I was going to show it to Lena. For laughs. Ha ha! Eyes front and center now. Oh, joy. Whatever was said in class sailed right by Zell on his raft of stress, floating in a sea of anxiety. As the others shuffled out on their way to their next class, Zell remained, head on desk. Philia dutifully marched up to the teacher's desk. Yes, I don't want to be late for my next class. The teacher smiled wisely. No one could be happier for you two than me. You are two of my favorite students in class. And, as unlikely a match as some would think, I think you are truly meant for one another. But... Philia stared at the teacher blankly. What was this old bag ranting on about? Match? Couple? She couldn't mean Zell and me, could she? What was in that note? I will kill Zelos, so help me. What's she saying now? barely able to support his own weight, his legs moved into position and straightened. Zelgata stood up. Now the teacher wanted his attention. Gods help me. I just don't want to see the two of you do something rash and ruin the beautiful future I know is waiting out there for you. You do know what I'm saying here, don't you? The teacher asked a little louder. Phileas shook her head. No, actually, I have no idea what you could possibly be thinking. Zelgadas did, and tried to intercede on her behalf. It's not how it sounds. You see, it was a note from... Zell hesitated. No, don't say him and involve another party in this mess. We're not really a... Men never have the whole story, dear, the teacher interrupted and looked motherly at Phileas. What my point is, if you keep fooling around together... Phileas's eyes grew wide with understanding. Oh, no, we're just friends. Nothing like that's going on. The note was just a joke, that's all. I have got to run. And she did. Zell picked up his books and started to leave as well. Zell Goddess, I'm glad you're back at school, dear. Just try and watch the extracurricular activities, will you? He nodded mutely and suffered through her romantic sigh. The three kids next met up in history class. I was late to my French class, Phileas yelled in Zelos's face the moment he appeared. My, my, Phileas. He backed away, holding his hands up defensively. I believe that it was you who stole my property. Why would you be carrying a note like that anyway? I didn't even get to see it, but now that teacher thinks that Zelgadas and I are a very close couple, Phileas cried. A couple of grubby kids sitting close snickered. Shut up! She turned and snapped at them. Well, actually, Phileas, Zelos continued, it was written to me from That's a Secret. Grin. You stole it, and Zelgadas is right here, so stop talking about me and sit down, Zell said. Okay. Zelos smirked at Phileas and settled into his chair. Phileas continued to whisper to poor Zell this time. So what could Zelos possibly write on that note that could have implied that you and I were together somehow? Zell gave her a deadly glare. Oh yeah, it is great having you all back to screw up my reputation, Phileas snorted. Zell looked down at his hands and sighed. Zelos felt his friends hurt and lashed back. Being linked up with Zelgadas may disgust you, but it could only help your reputation. Phileas did not miss the vowel imitation and the allusion to his bad boy image. Zell sank lower in his seat. Phileas kicked Zelos. Only you disgust me. Now shut up before this teacher gets ticked off. Yes, it was good to be back where everybody knows your name, your friends' names, and is more interested in your love life than you are. Listen up now, class, the history teacher shouted for attention. This is new material, and it will be on the final exam, so pay attention. Zelos stood up and marched out of the room for a drink of water. A long drink. Zell closed his eyes for a short nap. Phileas discussed t-shirt selling strategies with Ryoga, who claimed to know the market well. Soon, the torture was over, and it was on to the third class of the day. Lena, Zell, and Zelos had missed so many labs that the teacher was considering giving them all incompletes, except that they were his top students. Zelos didn't care. He could fail him if he wanted to. He didn't care at all. Zelgadas negotiated a workable solution for Lena when she returned, and him, and Zelos too. Half of each class period and into part of lunch each day, the three students would meet and complete the lab work. The teacher computed that it would take them about 2 weeks to finish. As it turned out, it took them less than a week. Each of the kids set up and completed one lab each, compared notes, and wrote up separate reports, but with three working in parallel on three different projects, The work got done in record time. Hooray for Zell! With that settled, they would still have time for social interaction at the lunch table. That is, whenever Lena returned. At lunch that Monday, Zelgadas was explaining his medical situation. I'm wearing noise filters in both ears. Hopefully anything too loud will be muffled enough so that I don't have to return to the land of giant bees and cotton balls. He looked up when three guys he recognized loomed over him. I just wanted to find out how you were, Melvin spoke to him earnestly. I'm going to be fine. Thanks. Just trouble with my hearing, Zell muttered. That's too bad, but I guess that's common for you rock band people, huh? Well, Amelia, see you in the next class, okay? I was just going, Zell said, standing to leave. You can have my seat. Hey, thanks, Melvin smiled and plopped down next to Amelia, while Tombo and Hojo found places at the table. He doesn't talk much, does he? Amelia's eyes followed the somber boy's figure as Zell joined his other friends at Vaughn's table. Not unless he has something to say. Zelgadas smirked to himself. Yes, Melvin, I damaged my hearing by playing guitar too loudly, while blowing up a couple of shrines. At home, Monday evening. Bored out of her wits and yearning for some news, Lena decided to call Amelia. Hello? Lena here. Hi, it's so neat having this cell phone. Every time it rings, I know it's one of my friends and not for Daddy. What are you calling about, Miss Lena? Hey, I just wanted to know how things were. And you're the best one to call since you don't mutter or giggle like some other people I know. Lena chuckled. So, were the Three Stooges at our table still? Oh, are they going to be at our table from now on? It's okay, kinda, but I bet Zell's not taking it well. You know how he is about changes and new people. I know. I don't know what to do. I think Melvin likes me, and he's nice and all. Too nice to just tell him to go find another place to eat after letting him join us, but I wish Mr. Zelgadas would just... Maybe I should find another place to sit so he can sit next to Mr. Zelos like he used to. Yeah, that might work, but try giving it a little time first. So, what else? And Lena listened to Amelia's day at Seyrun High. Monday evening, at another house in town. That night for dinner, Zelos ordered pizza to be delivered. He was exhausted, and he knew Zell was tired out from his first full day back at school. While Val helped clean up the table, Zelos decided now was the best time to get through another of his mental obstacles. Zelgadas? What? I was about to go up to my room and do homework until I dropped. Or simply drop, then do my homework. Can I come up for a couple of minutes? Why? Well, not to talk to you, if that's the problem, Zelos said with some irritation. Fine. Once Zell entered his room, Zelos followed and stood in front of the bathroom door. He had not entered that bathroom alone since the day Dubois, his stepfather, had attacked him, beginning in that room. You want to use it? Go ahead. I'm just going to crash on my beanbag chair and read, Zell said with a sigh. Ah, thanks. I just need to go in alone for once, Zelos said in a low voice. Zelgadas understood now. Right. I'll be right here if you need me. Zelos shook his head, then grinned. I know. I'll just imagine you in the bathtub glaring at me. That's got to be at least as scary as anything else I've experienced in there. Zell was about to say something harsh, then thought about how really awful Zelos' memories of that place actually were, and grinned instead. That'll do it, all right. Zelos opened the door and just stood there. Zell tapped at the keyboard, turning on its CD player. Zelos could hear the theme to Lodos Wars begin, and smiled. He'd been busy downloading music lately. Zell checked the playlist, stuck in a CD, and Slayer's tunes filled the air. "Lousy recording," Zelos called out. "That's us. Joey taped us and got it on a CD. Recognize the song?" Zell asked. Catchy tune." Zelos smiled and turned back to face the open doorway. "Well, here goes nothing." Zelgadas tensed, not knowing what to expect. It was quiet, though. After what seemed to be a few minutes, he rose and peeked in. Zelos was standing in front of the mirror, staring at his reflection, a single tear running down his cheek. As soon as Zell entered, he quickly wiped it off with his sleeve. "I'm all right. I'll be all right. This room doesn't bring back the memories like it did." He smiled a little. "Do you want to talk about it? It must have been more and worse than you told me in October," Zell said in a low voice. Shaking his head, Zello said, "Thanks, but no. It was sick and perverted and I can't even say the words to describe it. I don't want you to think about that kind of stuff either. But I think I've eliminated another cause of my nightmares tonight." "How about the master bedroom?" "I'm fine with that, actually. I never spent time in here, and I can associate it with Rezzo now. This room is yours. The house is ours. I think I'm fine now about the house. Dubois is really dead and gone." He sighed, with relief washing over his features. "Good. Now I've got homework to do. And so have you. Want to bring it over and do it here? Fine, then hurry up. And, Zelos, don't worry. I don't think any worse of you for what happened in your past. It's what you make of the future that counts now," Zell said meaningfully. Zelos nodded and left smiling, back to his place to find his notebook.